Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first to arrive. We'll
okay.
Wait for some more.
Thank you. Appreciate your time earlier.
You broke up. Say it again.
I said, I appreciate your text earlier.
Well, you're very welcome, then. I thank you for it.
Well, my privilege.
You getting your life sorted out?
It's, I guess, whenever people ask me, basically, it's really out of my hands. It's basically the hands of a lawyer. You know, there's nothing I can really do at this point, but just, you know, wait and see what happens.
Well,
but I make the best of it. I mean,
That's one aspect. But,
right.
You know, getting your life sorted out is up to you.
Right.
Living with the environment that you have. So.
Right. It could be, I look at it, it could always be worse. You know, it could always be worse than what I'm having to do. So, you know, I'm appreciative. I just try to stay appreciative.
That's the key. And that the statement, it can always be worse, is not an appreciating statement. So just think about that for a while.
Right. I don't think some people are as blessed maybe as I am. You know, I do have a roof over my head. You know, it's my sister's
exactly.
little I mean, it's my sister's camper trailer. I could be on the street. I do have a roof over my head, and I can pay my bills, and I do have food, and the little bitty small refrigerator that I do have. So, I mean, I really am appreciative.
But the other side of it is, what are you going to do with your life? You have a roof
right.
over your head. You have food on the table.
Right.
You have your family.
That's
you have
right.
a support system.
Okay.
What are you going to be doing with it? You know, and I understand that this is not the place for that conversation, so it's being recorded.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully someone will learn by it.
I thought I heard somebody come off. No, my hearing was off, so.
Okay.
When you're ready, we can have the conversation.
Okay, that sounds great. Sounds great. How is y'all's weather there? Is
the weather?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what you mean by the weather.
No, I said the weather. I said, how's y'all's weather been?
It's very humid.
Yeah, it's been raining for about the last 3 days over here.
Yeah, it's
we're fixing to hit the high 80s the next 3 days.
Well, I think our air conditioning in the building is broken down, so it works in each other's
okay.
apartments. The hallways
oh, okay.
are.
Randall.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brandon.
Hey.
So please join me in saying the Anna Bekoah. Anna Bekoah, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Se. Alpha Gimel Yutat Tzadi. Tabir Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Baharenu No Ra Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshei Yehudcha Tivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kashin Barhen Tacharem Rachamei Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzaditach Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Etufet Tet Dunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shim Kufav Tzadi Yudta. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We'll now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'ral Chesed V'emet, Nose Chesed La'alavim, Nose Yawon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei, We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu Ishkite Bid Hilu Himud Hilud Hilu Himu Liata L'shem Yudhe Bavave Yehudah Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasuk Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kaneinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kaneinu Pasuk 29 Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Tane Nandekucha Purichu koma de aved leela witata kolaihu kishot viovada dikshot veleit lach mila bialma divae barnash vedach yalea minea ulan haga deya kalana dehakulu ovada Dikshot inun wikola yitzirif bi alma. The energy of this current year, 5779, is to become wise. We're going to be studying tonight the verse that we've been studying for the month of Nisan. The verse is from Psalms 90, chapter 94, verse 9. It starts with the letter He and ends with the letter Tet, just as the name of the year does. Hanota Ozen Halo Yishma Im Yotzer Ayim Halo Yabit. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And the year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is one verse in the Tanakh that we study that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamtimatom liami li Israel untati vishakam ta'ata willo yirgaz o willo yosipu v'nei avla la'anoto ha'asher barishona. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la a wa he he ya. Yozala me be he he re yo he ko me la awa kala yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la he yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he he wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me cha re yo wa me be yo he he wa nu wa me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names of the Tzaddikim that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te ya ame. May be she la yo hey anu a kameta. Hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey mea. Yo sa la me re hey hey yo yo me hey me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo hey yo me me nu te hey hey wa. Nu yo hey hey shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi a he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he be za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa pe za yo. Ka he be me ka ko a la a fe he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave on the fourth day of Nisan, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, and Rabbi Yochanan Twersky of Rakhmistrivka. We'll now connect to the Anid meditation, which is a tool to bring us to balance and keep us in balance. We'll start with the level of Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, Yesod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Od. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. I ahini wu yohi. I ahini wu yohi. I ahini wu yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Gevura. Yeah. Ni wi yo. Yeah. Ni wi yo. Yeah. Ni wi yo. Chesed. Yeah, heni we yo he. Yeah, heni we yo he. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Bina. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Achma. Yeah, honey, why, yo, how? Yeah, honey, why, yo, how? Yeah, honey, why, yo, how? Getter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We'll now say the first two lines of the Shema. Please cover your eyes and lean to the left slightly. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We'll now say an additional Yashem. L'shem Yehud, and then the Esser Dibrot. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barikhu Ishkin Tevit, Hilu Urchimu, Hilu Uthilu Urchimu. L'akta L'shem Yud Hei Bavad Hei, B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. V'yehino Am Adonai Eloheinu, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kononei, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kononeihu. Vayedaber Elohim et kol ha-devarim ha-eile le-mor. Anochi Hashem Elohecha, asher hotzeiticha, me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi-beit avadim, lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim. Al panai lo taseh lecha, tesel v'kol temuna, asher b'shamayim mima'al, v'asher ba'aretz mitachat, v'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz lo tishtachaveh. Lachem, willotavdem, ki anochi Hashem Elohecha, Elkana poked awom, avot al banim al shileishim. We are redeemed, Lishonai. We are Sechesed, Lalafim. We are Havai, Ushomre, Mitzvotai, Lotisa, Et Shem Hashem, Elohecha. Vashav Kilo Yenake, Hashem. Et asher yisa, et shemo lashav, zachor et yom ha-shabbat, lekadsho sheshet yamin, tavod v'asita kol melachtecha, v'yom ha-shvi'i, Shabbat Lashem Elohecha Lo Taseh Kol Malacha Atalincha Uvitecha Avdecha Viyamatcha Uphemtecha Vegercha Asher Bisharecha Ki Sheshet Yamim Asah Hashem Et Hashamayim ואת הארץ, את הים ואת כל אשר בם, וינח ביום השביעי. על כן בירך השם את יום השבת, ויקדשהו כבד את אביך, ואת אמך למען יאריכום. Yamech al ha'adama asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach lo tirzach lo tinach lo tigno lo taner bereacha et shaker lo tachmod et reecha lo tachmod eshet reecha ויעבדו ויעמתו, ושורו וחמורו, וכל אשר לרעך. And now we will take the elevator called the Kaddish to the higher spiritual level where we will study our class. Itgadal v'itgadash shemei rabah. And we all say Amen. V'alma divra kirute v'yam lich malchute v'chayechonu v'yomechonu v'chaye dekol beit Yisrael v'agala v'zman karit itbarach v'ishtabach v'itpa'ar v'itromam v'itnase v'itadar v'itale v'italal shimei dekucha Leila min kol birkata v'shirata tushbechata v'nechemata da'amiran bi'alma v'heishlama rabba min shamaya v'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen Ose shalom bimro mal Who yaseh shalom aleinu, we all call Yisrael, v'imru amen. Our handout tonight can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the 14th row, the second column from the left, that opens up a landing page of the writings of the Ari. Scroll down to Parasha Mitzora, and the first link is Unabashed Evil, is our handout for tonight. The Kabbalistic remedy to rectify an egotistic self-serving mentality. Take two birds. This week's Torah portion begins with a discussion of the purification rites a person afflicted with Tzaraat must undergo when he is to be cured. One of the features of this rite is that the priest shall take two live, ritually pure birds. The priest shall order one of the birds slaughtered over fresh water in an earthen vessel. He shall take the live bird and dip the live bird in the blood of the bird that has been slaughtered. She shall then set the live bird free in the open country. The affliction of Tzaraat is not simply a medical condition, but reflects a spiritual mental affliction, a faulty attitude in life. This attitude results from the intrusion of some form of an ungodly idea or perspective into a person's way of thinking that eventually renders him depressed, negative, antisocial, or afflicted by some other negative emotion. The purification process then must reflect how the individual disassociates himself from these negative ways of thinking. Egocentricity has no place in the life of a child of Israel. This negativity or egocentricity is unabashedly called evil in the Kabbalah. The imagery used for it is that of a shell, a coarse, inedible husk that surrounds the fruit or the meat of the nut. The image is significant on two counts. Firstly, the fact that the shell cannot be eaten obstructs the fruit and has to be removed indicates that egocentricity has no place in the life of a child of Israel. Secondly, the fact that the shell serves to protect the fruit while it is ripening indicates that in the context of self-preservation, the ego does serve a purpose. In any case, central to understanding the purification process from the egocentric negativity is the Kabbalah's topology of evil. It is this subject which will form the bulk of the passage from the Arizal's writings cited here. And I am adding, the word topology usually is used as a definition of relationships, similar to a computer concept of a network. Thus, the topology of evil is describing the network of evil and how they work together or how they work separately. We will now discuss the subject of the klipot associated with the four worlds, with Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. We will base this exposition on the following passage from the Holy Zohar. We have been taught that there is a certain world above. When the herald goes forth, that world trembles and shakes, and there emerges from it two birds. Their abode is under the tree, wherein is the appearance of life and death. One bird flies northward and the other southward, one at dawn and the other at dusk. In order to understand this passage, we have to understand a number of other things first. Just as there are four worlds in the realm of holiness, so are there four impure worlds. First of all, just as there are four worlds, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, in the realm of holiness, so are there four impure worlds. The absolute of impurity is also known as Klipat Noga, the shiny shell, which although not holy, is not entirely evil either. It is neutral, and whatever is part of it can be assimilated into holiness if utilized properly. The lower three worlds of impurity are the three entirely impure shells, which cannot be assimilated into holiness. I am adding, Hashem created this against that. This means the highest world of the negative system is the closest world to the physical world. This is my opinion. In the world of Atzilut, there are shells only on the backside of Zeran Pin and its Nukva. There is thus evil at the level of Zeran Pin and Nukva, but not at the level of Abba and Ima. In the idealized world of Atzilut, evil cannot attack the intellect, which is Abba and Ima. This is because the objectivity of intellect precludes any possibility of evil convincing it to succumb to its enticements. Ideally, then, a healthy intellect should be a person's first defense against evil. As long as he is thinking clearly, there is no way a person can fall into sin. Even at the level of emotions and emotional expression, Zeran Pin and the Nukva, evil can attack only from the back, only when the emotions are oriented improperly towards things other than divinity, and a person begins to love, fear, etc., things other than Hashem, does he become susceptible to evil's machinations. In the lower worlds, however, where the consciousness of Hashem is not as pervasive as it is in the world of Atzilut, we find that the shells exist on successively higher levels. In the worlds of Bria, there are shells on the backside of Ima, besides those opposite the backs of Zeran Pin and its Nukva. In the world of Yetzirah, there are shells on the backside of Abba, Ima, Zeran Pin, and Malchut. And in the world of Asiyah, there are shells relating to all five Partsufi, Arikan Pin, Abba, Ima, Zeran Pin, and Nukva. Thus, in the world of Asiyah, all facets of the personality are susceptible to the inroads of evil. As we have explained elsewhere, there are five Partsufim in each of the four worlds of the realm of holiness. Every Partsuf has associated with it seven palaces, in which exists the ten Sephirot of that Partsuf. A palace is, in this context, simply a setting in which the Sephirot may operate. Furthermore, we have also explained that these palaces are in fact twice seven, seven male palaces and seven female palaces. Just as the female's full stature extends only as high as the male's chest, so are the male and female palaces like this. The female palaces begin at the level of the male's chest and extend downward to the level of his feet. And this applies to all the four worlds. As we have explained previously, the dichotomization of reality into male and female was necessary in order to give full play to two necessary but divergent forces in achieving the purpose of creation. The male needs the female in order to actualize its abstract inspiration. The male is the abstract awareness of creation's source, Hashem. The female is the drive to manifest that source in the reality. The male needs the female in order to actualize its abstract inspiration. The female needs the male to inspire and sustain the direction of its drive toward the actualization. The implication of this is that each facet, male and female, is given a personality, or in Kabbalistic terms, a sephirotic makeup, tailored to its focus. The female is therefore depicted as having its head on the level of the male's heart. In other words, the female intellect is a priori oriented toward thinking of ways to actualize what the male has already emotionally reacted to. Were the female's head to be on the same level as the male's, that of abstract inspiration, it could not focus on its intended goal. And this also explains why women are generally shorter than men. The palaces of the shells of the four worlds are similarly structured, there being two sets of seven palaces for each partsu. We might therefore assume that the seven palaces of the Zeron Pin of the shells would be opposite the seven palaces of Zeron Pin of holiness. But this is not the case. The reason is that the shells do not touch the three first sephirot of any partsu. Therefore, it follows that the full stature of all seven impure palaces of the evil Zeron Pin reaches only as high as that of the six lower palaces of the holy Zeron Pin. There is no shell opposite the seventh, highest palace of the holy Zeron Pin, the palace associated with its first triad of sephirot. The same is true of all the evil palaces in each of the four worlds. The partsufim of evil are also shorter than the partsufim of holiness, although for an entirely different reason. Abstract, unbiased intellect cannot but acknowledge the existence and omnirelevance of God. Here, the shorter stature for both male and female evil partsufim indicates that evil is, as we said, unable to attack intellect. Although the evil partsufim, of course, possesses their own intellect, since by definition, a partsuf is a full array of sephirot, their intellect is not abstract. It is a priori based bias towards evil. That is, towards denial, or at least de-emphasizing divinity and or its significance. Were evil to possess abstract intellect, it would not be evil, since abstract, unbiased intellect cannot but acknowledge the existence and omnirelevance of God. The first triad of Sephirot, Chachma, Bina, and Dad is that of the intellect. Still, it should be kept in mind that even though the shells of the world of Briah cannot ascend to the level of the first sephirotic triad of Briah, the evil palaces of the world of Atzilut can prevail and be manifest from their exalted height down into the world of Briah. The same is true of the other worlds. Just as all the holy partsufim possess intellect, so do all the impure partsufim, both male and female. The difference, however, is this. The male and female evil partsufim possess only two brains, Chachma and Bina, while the male holy partsufim possesses three, Chachma, Bina, and Das. The holy female partsufim also only possesses two brains, Chachma and Bina, for as we are taught, women's dot is light. Chachma is the flash of insight that pierces through the veil of the sub, or superconscious, into the conscious mind. It is an ephemeral experience. Since by its very nature, an insight is foreign to the mental structure into which it is introduced. As a foreign entity, it is not in some way integrated into the mind. It will simply disappear and be forgotten. Therefore, the task of Bina is to integrate this new insight into the mental structures and thought patterns that individual already possesses. This is a process of translation and evaluation. translating the insight into familiar terms, and evaluating the existing mental structures and ideas in terms of the new insight. Does this new insight confirm or contradict what I already know and believe? And if so, to what extent? And so on. Bina thus distinguishes between, in Hebrew, bein, the reality as reflected in the insight, and as conceived of prior to the insight, and reconstructs, in Hebrew, the boneh, the person's mentality in the wake of the insight. The drive of holy intellect is always to seek the relevance of insight. Still, all this is abstract mental activity. It is the function of the third component of the intellect, Dat, to make this new picture of reality relevant and meaningful in the person's day-to-day life. Now that I understand reality in a new, higher way, how does this apply to the way I live my life? We now begin to see the essential difference between good and evil, or more precisely, holiness and mundanity. The drive of holy intellect is always to seek the relevance of insight, understanding, and knowledge. The intellect of evil has no such drive. It is entirely content to focus on the experience or of the insight, the wow or high, without polluting it with moral concerns or relevance. For it, life is a succession of sterile experiences, titillating in and of themselves, but which produce no lasting fruit or change in the individual or the society's life. Women are also not granted a priority, this third component. Of intellect, since, as we said, their innate intellect is already fully subjectified and oriented towards translating abstractness into relevance. Women acquire Dat fully when they marry and can then combine their own intellects with and fully benefit from their husband's more abstract intellects. This concept is hinted to in the Zohar. The other god, evil, is emasculated. It has no desire to procreate. It does not multiply or bear fruit. For were it to bear fruit, it would turn the whole world into chaos. The explanation of this is in accordance with the verse from Ephraim. Ephraim shall say, "What more have I to do with idols? When I respond and look to him, I become like a leafy cypress. Your fruit is provided by me." Forsaking idolatry, the evil orientation is thus associated with fecundity. In other words, the supernal coupling of the Holy Zohar, the Holy Zerantin and the Nukva, produces fruit, the souls of Israel. The nefesh issues from the Nukva directly. The levels of neshama and ruach, however, originate in the male of Zerantin, which couples with the Nukva. The seminal drop transferred through intercourse comes from the brain of Dat. For it is this brain that reconciles and bridges the male's other two brains, Hakma and Bina. No coupling is possible without Dat. This is why the Bible refers to intercourse as Dat, knowledge, as in the verses, "And Elkanah knew his wife Hannah. No man had known her," and many such others. The reason is because without Dat, there can be no intercourse at all. as we said, God is a subjectification of the intellect. This is the element of the female within the male, the aspect of his intellect that propels him toward making his abstractness relevant and concrete. It is therefore the point in his mind that allows him to get out of himself and be sensitive to his other half or his spouse, and particularly to develop an appreciation for her innate drive towards actualization and concretization of divinity in the real world. In the realm of evil, however, there is no dot, even in the male. They possess the other two brains, Chachma and Bina, but they lack the third brain, dot. There is therefore no concept of coupling, and they are, as it were, emasculated, unable to procreate. It is known that the term other god refers to the male aspect of evil, as is clear from the usage of the Zohar in many passages, particularly on the verse, "You shall possess no foreign god." That is why it calls evil the other god, emasculated, having no desire to procreate. The female shell obviously cannot be called emasculated, but only frigid, as our sages said with regard to the great serpents. It is said that God castrated the male primordial sea creature, the Leviathan, and killed the female in order to prevent them from procreating and their species overrunning the world. In contrast, when faced with the same problem regarding the primordial beast, the behemoth, he castrated the male, but only made the female frigid. The reason why he had to kill the female Leviathan and not simply make it frigid, the Talmud states, is because fish mate even when they are cool. In any case, it follows from this that the Jewish people derive their souls from the realm of holiness. Their nefesh originates from Malchut directly, their ruach and neshama from the male, which possesses dot. Non-Jewish people, however, possess only the level of nefesh, and theirs originates in the nukva of the shells. They possess no ruach or neshama from the male side, for the male shell is emasculated, possessing no dot brain through which it could couple with the female and produce a ruach or neshama. This is the meaning of the other god is emasculated and produces no fruit. No ruach or neshama originating in the male. The fundamental difference between the Jews and the non-Jews is that the non-Jew is charged with keeping the world running smoothly, civilizing it, populating it, and cultivating it, while the Jew is intended to provide the proper divine direction and inspiration for humanity. Therefore, the non-Jew's intellect is inherently this world-oriented. For this reason as well, non-Jewish culture is inherently sterile, oriented toward diversion and stimulation rather than moral advancement or holiness. The non-Jewish nefesh, in contrast, issues directly from the evil nukva, and this is the mystical meaning of the verse. Also, the absence of dot makes a nefesh that is not good. The souls of the Gentiles, which originate in the shells, which are called evil, are not good, are produced without the aid of dot, which is why they also do not possess a ruach or a neshama. This is also the inner meaning of our sage's statement. It is forbidden to pity someone who possesses no dot. Someone who possesses no dot is rooted in the shells, which possess no dot. If someone pities such a person, he causes God's attribute of mercy to extend over evil, which possesses no dot. Now, all these different brains in the realm of evil are identified by name in the book of Adam Yashar. The two brains of the evil Zeranpin of Atzilut are termed the two spies, as mentioned in the Zohar. The two brains of the evil Nukva of Atzilut are called the two birds. We see, since the Hebrew word for bird is Tzipor, is considered feminine in many places in the Bible. As the Arizal goes on to discuss, the purification rites of the individual afflicted with Tzaraat involves the ritual of the two birds, because these two birds signify the mentality of female evil. And this egocentric, self-serving mentality, that of orientation away from godliness and making relevance into the end-all and be-all of life, living life only for the high, the experience, is the root of Tzaraat. Our sages tell us that Tzaraat afflicts a person because he has indulged in slander, a vicious indication that his egocentricity has so overtaken him that he is ready to make another person into a mere subject of conversation without regard for his feelings or reputation. He must therefore be ostracized, sent out of the camp until his condition passes. As part of his purification, he must take two birds, the chirping personifications of pointless and self-serving indulgence, and kill one and set the other free. In this way, he utterly disassociates himself from this evil and is ready to begin his life anew in the image of holiness. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? This study is a very deep study, touching on the idea of what is evil and causing us to think real hard on that subject. It is a good thing to do when you are ready, and it was a trap if you think about it when you're not ready. Tomorrow morning we have a class at 7 a.m. connecting to the month of Tammuz. At 4:30, we have a class, the deep study of the Zohar, and at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., we have a deeper study, the parasha of the Tikkuni Zohar. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Shalom.